Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who's doing his last show of this series. It's Richard Herring. Another series. I hope we get recommissioned. We're back next week with the next series. Don't worry, people at home. It never ends. It only ends when I end. Welcome to... which may be during this tour. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was talking to Richard Herring, the one who recorded the first episode of this podcast over 13 years ago. He calls it rehearsed, but I don't know if it's going to catch on, though. That's what he said. He doesn't know if it's going to catch on. So, we have got a big tour coming up. Please do come and see us on tour at richardherring.com/rehearsed. All I've got for you, I haven't got much for you this week because we've got such a fantastic guest. Also, nothing has happened to me. This is just what I was thinking today, and I think I might ask my guest about this because she understands food. She's greedy. It's Startix. Last week I was very respectful to the guest. That is not going to happen this week. Does the person who came up with salted caramel get residuals every time it's used? Or is it like when those scientists who discover a cure for something, they get a £10 gift voucher and then they get nothing else? Because that'd be annoying, wouldn't it, if you were the first one to put salt and caramel together? Well, that's a good idea. Did he copyright it, or she? Possibly it was a woman. It's a good idea, though, isn't it? It's everywhere now. You get 1p every time someone eats salted caramel. You'd get a lot from me, I can tell you. I don't know why I was saying that was the pot calling the kettle there. I've eaten more salted caramel than I think anyone. So I owe whoever. If that was you who had the idea, you wouldn't think it would work with salt and caramel. What? So it's popcorn. All right. It all falls apart. That's my stand-up for this week. So, well done. Well done, Rich. You should be very proud of yourself. That will not appear in my tour stand-up. My guest this week is probably best known for her appearance on Milliken's Minivans. No, I made that up. I just thought that would be a good... She could travel around in a minivan. She's best known, of course, for her appearance on Odd One In, which I have a feeling I've first been a guest before. Remember Odd One In? Well, we're going to... It's a shame because that's all she's done in her life. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next hour. Will you please welcome Sarah Millican, ladies and gentlemen? Sarah Millican. Oh, hello. What a night.
Hi.
Sarah Millican, Odd One In.
Honestly, Odd One In was one of the best experiences of my whole life.
Tell us about it.
So it was never going to work as a telly program, but it was so much fun. So they'd have things that we had to check, and obviously you had to guess which one was the odd one out, which one was the odd one in. And I remember sitting beside Donal McIntyre. Do you remember Donal McIntyre? Trying to work out which Tash was real and which wasn't of the people on the panel. But the audience were behind us, and that's why it didn't work. Okay. I think that's why it didn't work, because we were having an absolute fucking ball. And the guys at the behind us couldn't really see what was going on.
Can you not say
so
fucking
fun.
Ball, given what's just happened to me? But it's very...
Well, you can have a fucking ball, you just can't have two, that's all.
Just have one.
Also, what kind of weak-willed man has a go at a woman when she's not allowed to retaliate?
Do you eat a lot of salted caramel? I love salted caramel.
No, because it's not sweet enough.
There's too much salt in it.
You know when you watch like Bake Off and stuff, and they'll say it's a little bit too sweet. It just doesn't. I don't understand what they mean. There's no such thing as too sweet.
My problem with salted caramel is that generally speaking, there isn't any salt in it. That's what
Do you have to add your own?
You eat it and it goes, well, there's no salt in it. It's called salted caramel and there isn't salt. Am I right?
Why don't you just have some crisps instead?
I love
that. If people who like salted caramel are people who would rather it was crisps, and those people can just fuck off.
Caramel's the best. Put a bit
it's
of salt
not,
in it.
It's horrible.
Put lots of salt in it.
No, because then you're like, oh, delicious caramel. And then, just, who's jizzed in the caramel? Richard, was it you? Less likely now. Has it started? Has it started?
I can still jizz. To be fair, I wasn't jizzing that much before it got taken off.
Does it just do this? Just dribble out the end. It's good though, because if you go out, if you're having sex with a man and he's young, you're young as well, it's not weird. And when he jizzes, you're like, where the fuck is it? Because you've got to make sure it's nowhere near your clunge, because then, you know. So you've got to check where it is and scoop it up or rub it in or whatever you do. But when you get to your sort of age, it's still hanging off the end, isn't it? It's easy to find, is what I'm saying. It's better in some ways.
It's true. If anything, I'd say the one testicle is producing a bit more than the two.
Got rid of the lazy one.
I think it's real. It's looked and seen what's happened to the other one and thought, I better butt my ideas up.
It's working harder. Oh, God bless it.
I can't believe I haven't spoken to you. Have I not spoken to you since I lost the testicle? I don't think I have.
No, I don't get any of the updates.
No. I feel like I've had an evening of you having a go at me having one ball before, but I haven't. I've just imagined it.
And it's happening right now.
It's just like I dreamed. Last time we spoke, and I won that one as well. We can't work out if it's seven or eight. Can't work out if it's seven or eight we've done, but whatever it is. We all know who is seven or eight nil up.
Do you do this with other guests? Do you have competitions on who's won the conversation? No. Just me? Yeah. Oh, that's nice, isn't
it? It's fun. I don't like any of the others, Sarah. I like having you on. It's 2019 was the last. So that 4 years ago?
Yes.
Blimey.
How long since you lost your ball flower?
It's wasn't a flap. It's two years.
Oh, okay.
2 and a bit years.
Because I said I didn't want to come on immediately after that, because, you know, just because you'd be on a rubber ring and it'd be weird. So, wait, 2 more years, I said. Well, well done. I mean,
well, you know,
you
I'm glad to be...
I don't know what to say, do you?
I'm glad still to be here. It's good to, you know, every day is a bonus. That's the way I look at it.
Once that's you, never been
once
how
you've...
Once
you've had cancer, eh? Every day is a bonus. Because I've had cancer, so I win. You would love it, because when you have cancer, people ring you up and say, can you come to do this thing? And you go, oh, sorry, haven't you heard? I've just had cancer. And then you don't have to do it.
Justice. 2 years is not just anymore.
No, I can't do it anymore.
You've got to do stuff now.
I'll just, oh...
If anything, does that not make people ask you for more charity gigs?
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Yeah.
Well, well done.
Thanks a lot. You know, yeah, I did well. I did well to get that taken off. Check your balls. Just you, mate. See, I made an assumption you've got two. Good. Nothing. It's 4 years. Not much has happened. What I wanted to talk to you about, first of all, before I forget, is when I think 2 times ago I asked you the human centipede question. You may not remember this.
I can't remember.
You said behind... When you remember what it is, though.
Yeah, so, I know what it is.
So you said behind you some of your bully from school. You'd be shitting in the mouth of your bully from school.
Oh, yeah.
ahead of you, you chose Philip Schofield. And you said, and I quote, I don't think there's anything he could do that wouldn't make me love him. Do you wish to reconsider your...
Philip Schofield means that you win this fucking podcast, I'll be livid. You know what? A surprising amount of people, since it was on the telly and on the news, have come up to me and gone, are you all right? Because they knew how much I loved him. I mean, so many reasons why we never would have got married, you know. but, yeah, I'm sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
It is sad.
I mean, it's sad all round. It's sad all round.
Mostly for me.
Yeah, mostly for you.
I did once apologise to his wife because I said, oh, I'm sorry, that because I met him and he came to one of my shows and he brought his wife. And I said, I'm really sorry, you know, that I'm like this. Cause, and she said, oh, don't worry, there's loads of you. And there is a lot of women of a certain age who watched him in the broom cupboard. So, yeah, I think we're all quite sad. Is anybody in here a bit sad about it? Yeah, a few people, one man saying no. Fuck off. But, yeah, can I revise my answer?
Yeah, I'm going to allow you to chain shoes in front of you.
Just going to be...
But, you know, it could be... Just be careful, it's the kiss of death. Literally. Be careful who you choose. Don't choose Hugh Edwards, for Christ's sake.
When you said the kiss of death, do you think it's my answer that...
I think it's your... I think it's your lips smoking on their anus that causes... That causes...
They're good lips. Can I be at the front?
No.
Why?
What? Because I'm giving you a chance to... This has never happened before. I've never let anyone change their human centipede before.
Whose shit am I willing to eat? That's the question. Imagine if that's the question that you didn't dress it up as, oh, this is a cultural reference, and you just went, whose shit are you willing to eat? My mum used to say about Daley Thompson that she would drink his bath water. I'd drink his bath water. That's only one step away, isn't it? Whose shit am I willing to eat? I would say my husband, but he eats a lot of meat.
Yeah.
I feel like if it was a vegetarian, it would be a little bit healthier.
I don't think... I was a vegetarian for a while, and I have to say...
Really bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to eat what came out of there. It doesn't... It's...
No!
If you're eating a lot of beans and stuff, it's not...
Oh, that's true, isn't it?
The gas... You'd get the poo and you'd get the gas.
Oh.
So you'd be gassed, first of all. That might kill you.
Does the gas, blow you up as well? Just... thought of somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Can I have Pedro Pascal's shit in my mouth?
Good choice.
I hope he's got a Google alert on his name. It's going to come up, isn't it? I'll have his if that's all right.
Okay. Well, I look forward to the new story about him in a couple of years.
He's quite a slim man as well, so he probably doesn't do massive shats like some people.
Good. Well, that's that out the way. I was watching your. I paid £10 for your download on your website for Bobby Dazzler. A lot of comedians give their specials away for free these days on YouTube.
Yeah, they're not very good ones.
But
I've got four friends in who all bought tickets for you
did they?
For this.
Oh, yeah, that pays us back.
Yeah, so shut your face. Because I said, do you want me to see if I can get your tickets? And they were like, no, happy to pay, happy to pay. Then. Happy to pay, not nay, to pay. Was it a good education? Did it show you how to be a comedian?
It did. I've seen your shows before, so it was just the same thing again. I've seen.
We're just waiting for, oh shit, I'm 60, aren't we? That's what we're waiting for. He's going to have a big birthday before he bothers to write a fucking show. I'll just tour with guests, that'll be easier.
It's very good, Bobby Dazzler.
Thanks.
Yeah. So you can get that. All your shows that you can get download on your website. Right?
Various places. Yeah. The first three are on my YouTube, and then there's two that are in various places like Amazon and Sky and stuff. And then the last one is this is the modern way via my website.
Very nice. And
thanks.
Yeah, it's good. There's lots of extras. You taught me some stuff about horses' cocks that I wasn't aware of.
You didn't know that?
I know a lot about cocks, and I didn't know about.
You should write another version of your cock book and just put an extra chapter in about horses' cocks.
Yeah, there's a lady whose job was to clean horses' cocks.
Yeah, there's lots of. I don't know if it's all women. I don't know. Maybe it is all women, and they have to clean like round the helmet. They have to clean the. They're called smeg beans. It's true. If you Google smeg beans and horse and hound, there's an article about a woman who is like talking about her job.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's fascinating.
I'm not going to Google it because I don't want that coming up in my search history.
And then it'll come up on like Facebook ads. It'll be like, would you like half a pound of smeg beans? You're all right, love. I'm not a vegetarian anymore.
I mean, I've had smeg before, but it's never been like a bean. It's never got that bad.
Yeah, well, maybe horses don't care as much.
They probably don't.
I don't think they do.
What would happen to them if... I mean, in nature, there isn't someone... Well, was there, like, a bird that used to do it in the past? A reciprocal agreement. What would happen? They would just They would just die of cock smeg, the horses. They wouldn't live...
They'd live long enough
to breed, get the smeg, die.
Maybe they just pecked it out. You're assuming they ate it.
Yeah.
Maybe they just pecked it out. Yeah. And then that bird died off and some women were like, I'll have a go with that.
I think the horses have just convinced women to do it. If men can work out how to make this happen, that's a game changer. So that's what I'm saying.
Well, horses don't have access to curtains, so they can't just wipe it on a curtain.
We've already disgusted this audience to the point they can't take any more.
That's what they've come for.
15 minutes in.
Dirty birds.
15 minutes in. What I do love about your shows, and it's because you're so open about everything in your stand-up, I think, that your audience always seem to, like, give you absolute... I don't know how much you record that you throw away, but your audience seem to give you absolute gold and just admit to, like, incredible... In this show, there's a man who you talk about he's got a hot tub and you'd say,
So the question, I have a question in every show, and the question on this show was, what did you do in a moment of madness during the pandemic?
Yeah.
And sometimes you just get people saying they shaved their head or they made bread and, that's, a lot of people did that. But then you get the gold. And then we did two, when I record my shows, I do two records and then you
I just do one because it's always good.
Yeah, well,
the first time.
It depends how many people are going to see it. So. It's really harsh, but I really enjoyed it. and you use one as a base and then you add bits in from the other one. If I like messed a line up or anything like that, obviously you wouldn't do that because you haven't got jokes per se. So am I winning? Are you doing scores? Good. And on a record you go long on that. So normally I'll get 3, 3, 3, you know, like a handful, 5 at the most in total for each show. But on a record, you want to make sure you get the good stuff, so you let it go long. And I think we had 9 in the first record that we could have used all of them. Because people are, I give people thinking time, and while other people are answering, they're thinking of their answers. And I think it is because I'm open that they're then like, I've got a thing I'll tell you. And we had a man who was trying to, in the whole way through the pandemic, was trying to have a 2-pound shit. And he... And I thought, like, cost. I didn't understand at first. But it was, he weighed himself and his wife was, because obviously the camera zooms in, and his wife's like this, just with her head in her hands. And she knows it's true and we know it's true. He was weighing himself before going to the toilet and everything, and then weighing himself afterwards, and he managed to get it. He got it. He had a 2-pound shit one day. And he told, like, whatever it was, 1,300 people that, and then everybody who's watched the special. And there's signs up saying, whatever you say, you know, it's been recorded. So he knows, but he's fucking proud of that, isn't he? What an achievement. But yeah, it's my favourite bit of every show, but also the most terrifying bit of every show.
Yeah.
Because you talk to the audience, because you do normally in the first half, don't you? Talk to them.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Like, yeah, and it's exhilarating, isn't it? But it can also just go,
ooh. Yeah, absolutely.
You don't know how
sometimes
it's
sometimes
go.
People in the audience can make a show go really badly. Can happen. Sometimes.
Yeah, not this week, though.
Not this. This week's fine.
Good lad. He's played the game, isn't he?
Good. Anyway, yeah, everyone should buy. I mean, you know, I grudgingly have to tell you, you're very good stand-up. And, you know, and I think it is a real testament to you, because it is, do you ever, because I you know, you and I both do material which is, it's quite full-on and quite honest, often about ourselves, and I think that, again, it is the fact that you do it first, I think, makes people happy to do it as well. Is there stuff that's happened to you that you think, oh, that was funny, but I'm not going to say that on stage?
No. If something's not funny, so what I used to do was, if my dad said something funny, I would ask him, can I try this out in front of an audience? And he'd go, yes. Because, of course, why wouldn't you? And then I'd try it out. And sometimes, because of the story, because of my setup, whatever, it didn't work. Sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't. And he would ask, did it work? And just this sad old man going, oh. So I had to stop doing that. So now I try it out on one audience. And if it feels like it's got legs, then I'll go back to him and I'll ask him. And then he always says yes. And then, because I couldn't, like, it's, I've taken this on as a job. I can take it when things don't work, but I can't say that to a lovely old man. Sorry, you're not funny, Dad. I can't do it. But no, if something's not funny or if something's too personal, I'll try and dance around it. So if I've got a story, but a little bit of it is a bit too much, I'll see if I can tell it without the bit. Because I feel like, because I'm so personal on stage, I feel like I need to keep a little bit back. And because of social media, everybody knows what everything, you know, where you live and all what your house looks like and all that. And I feel like I need to keep a little bit back. But genuinely, if it's really funny, it just goes straight in the show. Because I'm that much of a, like, joke slag that I just think, fuck it.
I always found the ones that I was most, the ones I felt like most embarrassed or nervous about were always the best ones, though.
Oh,
the
God.
Ones that I considered not doing.
Oh, no.
Were always the
but
ones.
That's why they were.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows how much of you're given for those ones. But, I mean, if you, like, because your book is incredibly personal, and obviously your next, if you do a show about the subject of your book, then that's going to be incredibly personal.
Yeah.
But it's, you just get the funny out. You just find the funny, don't you? And also, doesn't it help, like, process all the shit things that happened to you?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, that's what I did. That year, there was a couple of wobbles, obviously, where it wasn't, where it didn't feel like it was very funny. But it, well, I realised that that was the way I was going to cope with it. Mm. I think it's interesting because, like that, I got through the first year, I think, by mainly doing, making puppets of my testicle and and doing jokes about
it. If I close my eyes, I can still fucking see it.
But this second year, I found much more, and maybe it was because I was writing the book, and it was, I had to be a bit more serious about it, a bit more thoughtful about it.
But also,
so
you've got to
process. You've got to actually process it. So I think comedy helps, but I think if it's a really serious thing that you need to get through, and this wasn't, you know, it was serious, but it wasn't that serious, right? I was probably never going to die or anything, but it felt like a, you know, it was still cancer, apparently. Still counts. But yeah, so it was, you know, I didn't need to process it a bit, I think, but but comedy really helped, yeah.
It really helps, and it helps if you think, well, at least I'll get a shot of it. Is it awful that that's the way our brains work? Like, I had a mammogram, and I was like, something funny's going to happen in the mammogram, surely. Nope. Just check my tits were fine, went home. And I was really annoyed because it was really, like, I thought it was going to be a lot more embarrassing, and it wasn't. It was fine because you know, they see tits all the time, it's not a big deal to them. But I thought something funny's going to come out of this. Nope. But when it does, then you, not only are you potentially helping other people get through things, but you're also helping yourself. It's nice.
Yes, it is nice. But, you know, and that was, and by talking about it as well, which I think, again, most people's immediate reaction would be not to talk about the things that you and I talk about, and not to talk, you know, if you had an illness like I had, to not talk about it. And I had a discussion with Katie, my wife, about whether we were going to talk about it. Her main concern was that Steve Bennett from Chortle would do a headline about it, which he didn't give a fuck, he didn't do anything. But
would you have been sad if he'd just given you one star?
Half a star.
But yeah, you do worry about that it's going to end up being a story.
Yeah, so, yeah. But then, you know, but it didn't immediately. And, you know, obviously, it kind of did get in the papers eventually. But by talking about it, I actually got loads of people messaging me about their experience, which was really helpful. And obviously, that by me talking about it, some people have gone in because of me talking about it. So that's kind of amazing. If, you know, five or six people have,
isn't that incredible?
You know, have gone in and found out something was wrong.
I did a thing a long time ago with, do you remember Dr. Christian? Lovely, yeah. Dr. Christian on the telly. And we did a how to check your breasts for lumps. And we did a video. And they wanted me to be funny in it. And I said, initially, I said, it'll only be funny if I can have a proper doctor there be doing the proper stuff. And I'll be funny, like, off the back of it. I can't be funny about it.
Yeah.
So we brought in Dr. Christian and we did this thing. And we did it, you know, and it went out and it was fine. But then every now and again I'll get a message from somebody. And it's incredible to think that because of that video, they checked themselves, they found a lump, they went in, they got sorted. They had, you know, potentially a horrible time in the middle, but they're still here.
Yeah.
And you think that's it. When you do a thing like that, you just don't really, you do it because it's a nice thing to do and it would be helpful to people. But you never, it's nice when you get the sort of responses like that where you think, fuck, that's crackers.
And I do say, anyone who doesn't buy my book, therefore, and is really a murderer, because,
yeah,
you know, they're missing out on the opportunity to help someone or themselves. They might be committing suicide, which is a sin against Jesus. Yeah, you're fine, you're safe.
I nearly brought it to get signed, and then I thought, how's he going to hold the pen down there, though, and he's only got the one. Just put a little puh on it.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Now, you may have won in this show, but...
Already, you haven't won.
You haven't won anything else you've ever done on TV.
That's all right. I know my biog as well.
So look, you've done a few since we were last together. My favourite—the only way you can get on TV now, really, usually you get your stand-up specials on TV, which is very unusual for comedians now. Mm. But you is to do like panel shows and game shows and Taskmaster, which we've done. You've done, I want to talk to you about Tipping Point. I didn't see Tipping Point, but I've read The Chase, I want to talk to you about first.
Oh, okay. Have you done The Chase?
I've done The Chase. Just want to let you know that I took the high offer. I got £89,000 I brought back. We won and got £150,000. I just want you to know that.
Wow, that's amazing. Who else were you on with? Because they must have been doing some heavy lifting.
They weren't. It was all me. I went eight. You got an offer. You got a high offer.
Yeah.
Of £103,000.
Yeah.
And you didn't take the money. You didn't
No, because it was more important that I got back to my team and we tried our best. No, I think it was more important. I think it's just, it's less of an ego thing with me than it is with you. If I had lost as many TV programmes as you have, then I would have wanted to really prove myself as well.
I thought I was so nervous doing that. I don't think I've ever been as nervous doing any of those shows. And I love doing quiz shows, and I get quite nervous in them. But that one, I was so nervous, and I was thinking, I probably will go in the middle or whatever. But when they offered me that much money, I thought, I've got to...
Where were you in the...
I was the last one.
So I'd said to... I had Graham, the dog father, on my left, so he's a dog trainer.
Okay.
Very nice man.
I thought he was a man who had a dog as a child.
And I said... I'm not going to go high.
Yeah.
So if you want to go high, that's because he's quite, I'm quite cautious and he isn't at all. He's very sort of brave, much braver than I was. So he went for the big amount. So we got the big amount in the bag. And then when it came to me, what they didn't show was the 20 minutes it took me to decide where to go. Because I definitely wanted to go like middle or higher. I probably wasn't going to go higher ever, but middle for sure, what I'd earned. 7, I think it was, in the cash biller. And then I didn't want to go lower, but they all convinced me. And then when they show it in the edit, it's just me going, lower, please. And they're like, good idea. And you're like, 20 minutes of chatting. But it was, I still think it was the right decision. We didn't win because we, so they appointed me, the rest of the team appointed me the person to say pass. And so I had to work. I don't know why they appointed me that.
Yeah,
so,
you didn't have to say pass to every question, no, was that? That was just because you're being appointed.
Well, if nobody else is answering, I am. Yeah. Nobody else had answered. You've got to move on.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of irrelevant which one you went for because you didn't win the competition. So it would have been a shame to get the 103,000 and then just blow it in the final bit.
But I didn't... Who else were you on with?
I was on with... the footballer lady.
Fuck off.
And a new...
No, you have to tell me her name. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Footballer lady. No, do not accept. You've already lost in my mind. What was her name? You spent the day with her. You had a lovely day with her. She was great. She was number one.
She wasn't very. She wasn't very good at the chase. That's why I was on with the
news.
Is it because
you spent all my time training to be a brilliant footballer in a job that's largely lent towards fucking men? Is that why?
I was on.
You still don't know her fucking name.
I was on with the.
What did she call you? Just one ball, rich at the end.
I had two balls then.
There was a man on the end, and her partner's going, who was the man on the end? And she's like, I don't know. He was little. He couldn't see above the counter. He was little. It said he was a comedian, but I think it was an inverted commas.
I was on with the lady off the news. And I was on with Tim Lovejoy.
A man! Finally! A man!
I was off with, you know, the one... I was off the news lady who thinks the dog had sadness in his eyes, that one.
Was that... No, I know who that is.
Who's that?
I can't remember, but I wasn't standing beside her! Wasn't standing beside her all fucking day, though! What is she called?
Kay Burley, that's what I was going to say.
Thank you.
I
had Kay Mellor. No.
Kay Burley. What was the footballer called, Andy McCaich? No idea. No. I would know Alex Scott. I would. No. Where that sounded like, what was it? I think Ben's got it. What is it, Ben? It is. That's that what he said. He's Googled it, to be fair to him.
Do you want to move on to Taskmaster?
Yeah, move on to Taskmaster.
Get shit out of the way.
Just before we go on to Taskmaster, I don't know if you saw when I was on Taskmaster, I won my series.
I
won Champion of Champions as
I
well.
I put like a little bit of sticky, like a sticker over your face on the telly, so I was just like, who's that again? It's the little man. He can't see above the counter. It's... comedian. I did watch you. I have almost no memory of
I've got no memory of the thing with Taskmaster.
Were all separate. A COVID one.
Yeah, we were all separate.
I was booked for that one.
Oh, you?
And then I couldn't do it.
Do you think I think I replaced you?
Like, fucking hell you did. I don't think I've ever sounded as Geordie as that. No, I think I heard who was on and right. I pulled out. It's not true. Richard who? Sorry. Stilgo. Yeah, I know him. Who were you, what you on with? Tell me who you were on with.
I was on, there was a lady. And then there's another lady. Then Mwan Rizwan and Johnny Vegas.
Yes.
Daisy May Cooper and Catherine Parkins.
Yes.
I spent 5 days with them, so I learned their names.
Well done. And then you did Champion of Champions.
Champion of Champions.
Which is good, because, you know, it's nice to have things to fill your diary,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is.
Can I just be here every day? It's only Mondays.
It's the last thing I did. It was a couple of years ago. I don't think I've done anything since then. My mistake with Taskmaster was to try and win it and not try and be entertaining. Whereas you, I think you tried to win it, but were also entertaining.
I decided to have a lovely time, yeah, genuinely, because I knew I'd heard from you and I couldn't tell you. I was kind of annoyed that it's because I was thinking, can I tell him? I was going to text you to go, I'm doing it. Then I thought, I can't, I'll get into trouble. But I was very much looking forward to it. Everybody said it was great. Literally nobody ever says, everybody loves it, don't they?
Yeah.
So I was looking forward to it and I decided just to have a nice time. And then I decided, maybe I could try. So tried, didn't try maximum, just tried sort of 70%. And then Dara was kind of in, spoilers, Dara was in the lead, but I was kind of behind him all way. And then he won in the end, and I was very close second. And I did Ed Gamble's podcast and decided to say on there that I think if I'd tried my best, I probably would have won. And I waited for the Dara text. I just thought it would take the shine off it for him. Because he's so competitive. And I thought, I hope when he looks back, he thinks, I won that. Oh, would I have won if she tried her hardest? I had a lovely time. I fucking loved it. I think the bit I loved the most was the individual tasks. Because I'm so much the sort of person that if we were doing a task set, I'd be looking to see, am I doing it wrong? I just don't trust myself. You had to.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved it all. And I looked under the table every single time. And three times it came good. Twice there was something useful there. And then once it was just a note that said, hello, Sarah. They're such smart asses, those guys. But it was so much fun. And obviously, I didn't really know, apart from Dara, I didn't really know any of the other guys. And that was really fun. And I remember all of their names.
Yeah.
but yeah, I loved it, and I wasn't bothered about winning. That's a lie. And occasionally it got quite close and I thought, I'm going to... but then, I mean, Dara's fucking clever.
Yeah, but Dara was had his head... Because Dara, he was on this and he knew that he was doing
it. Oh, yeah, that's true, wasn't he?
And he was saying, oh, they wouldn't have me on, but he knew. And he told me, he did tell me he was going to be on it. And I just said to him, just... Because what I didn't do was bother with the first round. I just did the first thing I thought of and sent it off really quickly and thought, oh, I've been a really good boy. I've given them all my homework and I've done it in a day. And what you have to do is, and I said to him, just think really hard about your the first round.
I tried to make them, I tried to have like a funny thing about each one because I thought it's still a comedy programme and I still have to be funny. And I have no idea what they've kept in the edits, what will happen, but I knew I had control over. I had a bit of time that I had to present a thing and talk about a thing.
Yeah.
So I tried to make it funny.
If there's anyone who's going to be on Taskmaster, that's the key. Although I still won without bothering with it. So imagine if I tried. I was on like 20% probably.
You were on with other people having a lovely time, though. You were running ahead, and they were like, "Meh, not bothered, having a nice time."
Daisy May Cooper was
she quite competitive?
She was really bothered.
Because she'd come in with just like a spoon out of a kitchen for a task.
No one thought about it. I think we were like we'd all just come out of lockdown, so we were all just bedazzled to meet other people. Literally, it was the first time we'd been out of the house. So we were like hysterical and just bedazzled to be communicate with anyone. On the last task, right, she was 1 point ahead of before the last task. I had to win, and she had to. If she came second, we'd have to do head to head or whatever. But if I won and she was 2 points behind, I'd win. If she won, she'd win. And I said to her as we went up to the stage, I said, "Daisy, look. I've had such fun doing this show. It's been amazing. And if you win, I think you're great. And I'll be really pleased for you. I'm going to try and win, but if you win, I'll be pleased." She said, "Well, I fucking won't."
You know,
and she wasn't.
I already like her, and I like her even more now.
But equally, like, she was like 7 or 8 months pregnant when we were doing the studios. So it was just...
Two brains.
Yeah, well, like,
you beat somebody with like two brains.
I wasn't going that way with it. She was, you know, that was... It was. I just thought, like, no one's going to want me to win this. She's like the funniest...
No, I mean, I didn't, and I didn't even know who else was on. I quite like it when you win things, honestly, because your sort of put upon kind of persona of like, everything's hard for me, is fucked over when you win. Like when you always used to bitch about your relationship and then you fell in love and I was like, ha ha, he's got a lovely wife now, he's fucked.
True. Because you getting divorced was the making of you. You know, I kind of think, really is it worth it for my career? I mean, I still love my wife. But if I could get rid of my wife and my kids, I could be as successful as Sarah.
That's not what it is.
You also, did you win Tipping Point?
No.
I won Tipping Point as well. I had just... Last time I spoke to you, I don't think I'd won anything. I've won everything since then. I've won pointless eventually, fourth go.
How many times did you win the Amused Moose New Act competition?
I've never won anything for stand-up.
Oh, have you not? How many BAFTA nominations have you got?
Zero.
Two.
Never won anything. I mean, you can't cheer two nominations. Come on, that is... How many
BAFTA awards? Nominations.
How many BAFTA awards have you lost? The same number as me. All of them.
No, I've lost two, and you've lost all of them, I think. What was the question?
We've both lost every BAFTA we've been eligible for. Oh.
How many times?
Feels like a Pyrrhic victory. Oh shit.
How many times have you won the Queen of Comedy Award?
I haven't. How many times have I been in the top 10 highest earning people in the country? Comedians in the country.
I was going to say people.
Yeah, comedians.
And I'll just drive back to my gold house.
I saw there was a list in the Daily Mirror. I think this is from like 2013.
The Daily Mirror.
It's 2013.
Is this where you're getting your facts?
I just ended up
smashing. It's good to know it's proper it interview.
I found it quite
did
funny.
Did you do this with Nigel Planer? I read in the Daily Mirror.
From 2013.
2013. So,
it was the age of the DVD. They had everyone listed. Peter Kay was earning £45,000 a day, according to the Daily Mirror on that day, on that thing. But it had the top 20 earning comedians. And you were quite high. But number 20 and was Simon Brodkin on, like, £220,000 in a year. And I got... that there's more than 19 comedians who've earned £220,000. The Daily Mirror had not done a very good job there.
I'm not... I don't really know how to answer that. Because A, wasn't a question. And B, the headline is the Daily Mirror might have got something wrong.
You were in the top 10. Everyone in the top 10 was
there. Where were you?
I wasn't there, but...
Is the newspaper going, he's little, he can't get above a counter. What is he called?
I reckon I earned... Yeah, I probably didn't earn as much as Simon Brodkin in 2013.
Don't feel bad. Look at all the things you've won that nobody cares about.
I haven't been on Blankety Blank, though. You've been on Blankety Blank. Did you win? You can't win Blankety Blank.
Yeah, but you can't win because you're not a member of the public.
No.
Because they win. You can help them win. I did a bit like you did in Taskmaster. I chose to help them win and forgot to be funny, I think. Which was a bit annoying. It was fun, though. It's nice being on a programme I used to watch as a bairn.
Yeah.
That was exciting.
Yeah. Who was the host of that? Was that Bradley?
Bradley Walsh. Yeah.
He was also the host of Odd One In.
Was he?
I think so.
I was too busy looking at moustaches and trying to work... You know, it sort of ruined me for moustaches because I still look at them now and try and work out if they're real or not. It was a really fun programme. You take the piss, but you've not been on it, so... Mostly because there was only one series.
Right, I'm going to ask you some emergency questions. Oh, I've made a list of the ones I've asked you. I haven't asked you that many.
No, I'm just readying myself for armpits of...
This is one that I thought AI had come up with, but then I just saw it in my book of emergency questions. I have written it before and AI's copied me.
Are you a robot?
I may be. What is the most ludicrous thing you've ever done in the name of love, Sarah Millican?
I bought a man a bag of meat.
Cooked or uncooked?
Uncooked.
Okay.
It was for Valentine's Day. Oh, God. And we are still together.
Oh, wow.
Was it
crafted into the shape of you?
I should have done that. Because I've got most of the bits.
I mean, no one could afford to buy that. No one can afford to buy that much meat.
You're as
not
fat
even
as
a
me.
Top
You're
ten.
Just shorter. It was for Valentine's Day. I knew he loved meat, so I got it. It was steaks and sausages and chops. Nice. And it was really... I don't think I've bettered it, if I'm honest.
God, it's a lot to eat, though, in a short
We've
period
got a
of time.
Freezer. We're doing all right.
Okay, right.
According to the Daily Mirror.
It's nice.
Which comedians have the biggest freezers, according to the Daily Mirror?
I've got two freezers.
One of them, the little one above the fridge. For the ice pops. You've got children, I know what's in your freezer. It's just ice pops, isn't it?
I've got a lot, but you know what? There's a lot of lollipops, a lot of ice lollies, but they're mainly for me. During lockdown. I go to the supermarket. I go to Waitrose in Hitchin. Oh, yeah, I'm doing all right.
I don't know how to broach it
because I went in and I bought loads of Solero. I eat a Solero every day. It's my treat.
How do you keep your figure?
It works.
Solero.
It works as long as the Solero is the only thing you eat.
No, it doesn't because it's not got any vitamins in it.
It's got vitamin C in it, probably. There's some mango in there somewhere.
I don't like a Solero.
Oh, they're brilliant. I bought loads. I bought not the mixed berry, the orange, the exotic ones.
Classic.
Yeah. I bought probably 10 boxes of ice cream. And it was just... But it wasn't like time when they were rationing, but it was around the time of, COVID.
Mm.
And the woman looked at me and said, oh, it's a lot of ice cream. She said, oh, you've got a lot of children, haven't you? You've got, five children. And I went,
Yeah.
But now every time I go, and I don't, she'd mix me up with someone. I've got two children. Now every time I go in, she goes, how are the family? How are the kids? And I don't know how to approach.
Is your next show going to be called Somebody Like Solero? That's a really good callback to a really old show of his. It deserved more, quite frankly.
I do like Solero. I would admit to liking Solero, as I do enjoy. And still,
how many's in a box?
Three.
Oh, that's not many at all, is it? No wonder. Oh. Yeah. So you had to buy 30 Soleros. That's just a month as well.
You just keep them in the freezer. Kids eat some of them. But yeah, it's mainly full of lollies for me. For a grown man. I like the fruit pastel lollies as well. 60 calories.
You don't look like a man who knows about calories. He started it. I wasn't even on the fucking stage before the first fat joke.
Right.
If I was to buy your emergency question book, yeah, is it that shitly put together?
This is the creme de la creme.
Is it when somebody orders one off Amazon, do you just have to get your sellotape out? Start making another one.
I could do it. I think I overestimated how many emergency questions there would be on this big book.
Yeah, pamphlet.
It's literally... Oh, yeah, okay. Do you think your obituary photo has already been taken, the photo that will appear in your obituary?
Where will it appear, first of all?
Well, like in the newspaper. Well, on
which
the...
newspaper? The Daily Mirror, Daily exactly. Mirror. Your Bible.
£1 million a year in 2013.
In the Daily Mirror?
Yeah, in the Daily Mirror. What do you think they've got? Which photo? Do you think you can think of the photo they'll
no,
use?
No, because they'll pick the least flattering photo of me and they'll call me like Roly Poly Comedian and I'm only going to get fatter. Prepare yourselves. I like to eat and I don't give a shit what you think. No, I don't think it has. I don't think it has. Unless they use one from, like, you know, one of the times I've won an award or something like that. I'm sure they
You're not anticipating winning any more awards in the future?
No, I'm plateauing now.
Okay.
Very happily plateauing. Because the thing is, when you get to a good level of quality, yeah, you can just stay there. You just keep trying, Flower.
I will.
Still on the climb.
I am. I'm on. You're going up. You see the people go up high and then they come down the other side and they fall and you're still edging your way.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't think it has been taken yet. Let's okay. do that. Right. Here we go.
That's nice, because that, you know...
Yeah, still life and the old dog yet.
That could be your next tour show.
No, I've already got that title. It's booked in, selling really well, thanks.
Late Bloomer.
What?
Late Bloomer?
Is late Bloomer.
Late Bloomer.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Thanks.
Is it about you getting a loaf of bread from a baker's didn't arrive on time? Just made that off the top of my head.
That's how good I am. All the heavy lifting up here is really exhausting.
It's the end of a series. It's the end of a series.
Yeah.
It's been a long series.
You're supposed to try to go out on a high, though, Richard. Okay. You're not even trying. Just pretend it's Taskmaster or something you care about. What was the question?
I don't think I've asked one. I'm going to ask you a question. What is the most embarrassing occasion on which you have broken wind?
I may know this all one. The time. Oh, my God. The thing is, I don't get embarrassed.
Do you not get embarrassed?
No. When you're married, like, I think part of marriage, so if we're in a lift together and I fart, he inhales it really quickly to save my blushes. And he'll go like that, got it for you, love. And I do the same for him. That's what marriage is, really. I don't get embarrassed. I did the other day. I had a fart while I was driving that was so imminent, and in order to push it out, and it was quite, you know, when one's quite trumpety,
yeah,
and it lasts for ages, that I had to stay in the wrong gear because I couldn't do the clutch at the same time. That's genuinely true. It's about a fortnight ago. And I was like I could strain or push, but not both. So the car was like, fourth, put me in fourth. And I was like, in a minute.
It's good.
Wasn't embarrassed, was having a lovely day.
I think that's what, you know, but I think what's... This is what's good, because, like, most... I think, like, is it because most women wouldn't admit to a lot of the things that you admit to on stage, but they all still...
They do to their friends.
Yeah,
they
yeah,
might
so...
not tell strangers for money. I appreciate I am different in that regard. But they tell their friends, and they tell their partners, and their, you know...
Yeah.
Boss. But, you know, I was going to say your boss, that's not right, is it?
Most of us, I mean, most of us, it's not just a gender thing. Like the thing you're talking about, having pyjamas, saying I've been wearing this pyjama top as my clothes for 4 days or so. It's better than that.
Yeah, it is.
But...
Can't even remember a good joke, let alone write one.
But that's, you know, it's reassuring to see other people have done...
But I think...
I've slept in my clothes for about three. I mean, I've got children, so I've got an excuse. But I've got...
I don't think you have. I don't think children are a reason to be a dirty bastard. I think, and
get
also,
no,
I know you for a long time. You were like this before you had kids. I feel like sometimes I'll say something, like at a new material gig, and I'll think, oh, God, I hope everybody else does this as well. And sometimes people go, ah, hi, oh, that's just like me, Sharon, isn't that like you? There's lots of elbows. And then sometimes they just go, no. And I think, fuck. I always think you should have to, like, people at a new material gig should have to sign something that says, if I say something that's embarrassing, that didn't get a laugh, you cannot tell anyone ever. But it is, I find it very, it's a bit like what I was saying before, it's very comforting if you say, like, oh, I'm like this, and people are like, oh, I'm like that too. It makes you feel so much more normal.
Yeah.
Makes them feel normal, makes me feel normal. Well, and also, why can't we talk? Men have talked about jizzing on stage. I mean, not like on, but like talked about for fucking decades. Why can't I talk about having a wide on sometimes? You know, it's just, thanks.
You can.
I'm assuming you're clapping. I don't know. Just...
But I think increasingly the world is so geared to people presenting this false image of themselves as the, you know, like, oh, look at me on holiday. Look at me doing, look how beautiful I am. Oh, I haven't got any makeup on and look how beautiful I am. It's just, you know, most of us aren't. I mean, I haven't got any makeup on and I am still beautiful. But, but you know, most of us don't conform to that. So it is just, you know, it's you know, it's easy for people to say, oh, and I've had this as well, of course, you know, anything where you're doing stuff about bodily function stuff, oh, that's there's no value to that. But actually, I think it's, you know, it's right at the heart of... society and truth, isn't it, about the human condition?
Yeah, but the only criteria is that I make people laugh. That's all I want to do in a show. And that makes me laugh. So that's my first thing that I've got to go on. Sometimes if I'm writing and I make myself laugh out loud, I think this is going to be great. It's not always. Sometimes you guys go, nope. But sometimes it really works. And you have to go with what makes you laugh. That has to be your starting point.
Yeah.
But I think... that's the only thing that matters. And when people are critical of, or some people talk about this, it's just, you have to have different things in comedy. Otherwise, if you have a lineup of five comics, it has to be different things each time. Otherwise, it's just, you know, five blokes in their 50s talking about their balls.
Yeah.
But it's, you know what I mean? It has to be different.
I agree. But, you know, like, I think comedy is so much more diverse and interesting now than it was. When I started in the 90s, it was genuinely, you know, a woman on the bill would be, you know, once, you know, you might see that once in 6 months or something like that when you were gigging. And it was all men of the same age. And they were actually all sort of about 20 to 30 at that time.
I saw a flyer once and it had four men on who were white with glasses and bald heads. And I was like, is it like a contest? And it was just a lineup, you know. And, you know, if you look at the audience, my audience is probably 60, 70% women. But an audience, a general audience for comedy is probably fairly reflective of the world. So it's like half men, half women. So When Gary and I go to, like, on holiday, we might go and see a comedy gig because we're nerds and we like comedy. And I'll say, just find me any lineup that's got a woman on. Just give me just one fucking woman. Yeah. I just don't want to listen to sometimes 9 men talking about smoking fucking marijuana. It's what America's like anyway. Yeah. But I think it is much more diverse now. It used to be when I, like, so if you're talking one woman every 6 months, it was better by the time I came around, but it was still only one woman on.
Yeah.
And now it's so exciting because you can be, if you're not the only woman on, you can be the rude woman or the political woman or the satirical woman or the one-linery woman. You're not just representative of all women. So it's just more interesting for an audience anyway to watch, you know. Well, you guys are up here.
More men. More men. Come on. More men.
My friend at school had a dog that was called affectionately One Ball Ben. And because we were kids, we genuinely thought he just didn't have many toys. It's not true.
Look, you tour the whole world with your stand-up, which is kind of it
blows my mind a bit.
So you were in you were in Australia, New Zealand, and America. You've done this year.
Yeah, and yes.
Yeah.
And Singapore, yes, and then I did Canada, and then more America and UK and Ireland last year, and a bit of Europe.
And does it, or do you have to change anything? Do you have to?
So I
guess for America more than Australia?
Yeah, if it's European, I just explain, because if I'm in Reykjavik one night, Oslo the next night, it's hard to then be like, what's your Asda everywhere you go? So I tend to explain as I go, which seems to work. Canada I change, America I change, Australia, New Zealand I change. So I have comedian friends who live there who I get to go through the whole script, tell me which bits they don't get or which shops they don't have, because I don't want to be... I don't want to go, I was in, you know, Walgreens. I'm much more likely to go, I was in Asda, but like your Walgreens. So it's an explanation instead. Because I once saw Chris Rock in Manchester and he was like, I was in Moss Side. And we were like, no, you fucking weren't. No fucking way. You've gone airport, hotel, venue, hotel, airport. There's no fucking way you wandered around Moss Side. Don't believe it for a second. And also, I don't need to be patronised. You can tell me American places where you've been. I'll probably understand them. And that's the thing is, you have to explain a bit more in America because they haven't seen as much of our telly as we've seen of theirs, of course. So I do change some things. And you end up with more punchlines. And then when you come back home, you're like, well, I've got to get rid of that punchline, which is kind of annoying. But I quite enjoy that part of it because it is just trying to explain something so that they still get it. It still hits the right punchline. But they're not sitting going, I don't know what she means, because there's no point.
Do you enjoy the travel? Is it, you know, it's your work like very, very hard, right? You work, I think, like, I think I have all the comedians I can think of. I don't think anyone's quite, maybe, I mean, Jimmy Carr maybe works in terms of doing live shows all the time.
But you just plug him in on a night time. It's not the same. He's, beep boop, beep boop. It's not true. It's not true. He's it's all done on Bluetooth now. I enjoy being in the different places. Do I enjoy eating a square of grey egg for my breakfast in an airport? Probably not. But I feel incredibly privileged to be able to... Like, I did a show in Vienna. What the fuck? And it was daytime, and I'd forgotten that when it was booked in, it was going to be like an open air thing. And I was like, oh, I can see all of their faces. There was only one bit that it went against me to be able to see their faces. Because I did a bit about the thigh gap and how shit it was. And a really skinny woman at the back of the room went like this, like that. Like she was just livid at me because taking the piss out of her thigh gap. But it was... I came out and I said, why are you here? That's the first thing I said. And a guy just went, YouTube. And I was like, yeah, it's a good answer. It's a good answer. It's incredibly, like, we did Reykjavik. I had no idea how it would go in Reykjavik. No fucking clue. And it was great. It was, there's something Like, I know when I, you know, if an American comic comes over here and you get all excited and they're only coming to like two cities and you're like, I've got to drive to London, I've got to do this. Yeah. And how excited I am. So I know that they're excited because they didn't think I would ever come to Vienna. I didn't think I would ever go to Vienna. But it's incredibly flattering. And the American thing, everybody says, you know, you won't sell tickets, nobody sells tickets. And we just put some little shows on just to see, and they sold and we had a nice time. So hopefully we get to go back, which will be great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's probably the lockdown, because I think before that we started a YouTube channel, and I think things just got shared a lot more than they had before, you know, because a lot of people were at home or needed a laugh or whatever. So yeah, it's not a funny answer. I appreciate that. But I'm very flattered that people even have any idea who the fuck I am.
I mean, if I went to play Vienna, I don't think that many people would come. So no offence to me. Oh, it is quite offensive. I've just offended myself. Or any of those places. People say, oh, come to Australia. And I think, I just don't think, you know, when I've been to Australia, people don't come and see me.
But well, it depends, because if you, yeah, exactly. So you gave up. So you went, not many people came. I went, not many people came. They papered it. It was full of people who didn't know who I was, didn't want to be there. It was weird. I worked harder. And then you go back and you do a slightly bigger room and a slightly bigger room. And then you do what I did, which is I was forced into a 300-seater when I wouldn't have sold anywhere near that. I had a horrible time for a month. And then the ash cloud happened and I had to stay for an extra fucking week. And everybody was like, boo-hoo, you're in Australia for another week. How awful. And I was like, I've just had a horrible month. Let me go home, please. So you have to, but I've just stuck at it, that's all. You see, you just went, oh no, which is fair, it's absolutely valid.
I mean, it's a lot, you know, like I've stuck at it in the United Kingdom and it's still been hard. So I think I'll wait till I've conquered the United Kingdom before. I'll wait till I can sell out Scarborough before I go to, which is it's a fucking long way away.
Worth it though. Scarborough's great. And you know the rule about touring, if you're anywhere coastal, you're allowed to have chips. That's the rule.
It's a good rule. So look, you know, I've won again, but it's still nice. It's nice that you keep coming back. That's why you're so successful. You get knocked to the floor and you keep coming back. So it's very nice of you to do that. Do go and see Sarah on tour, Late Bloomer, all on your website. Again, a massive tour. Your husband's on tour at the same time. Are you going to see each other at all? Have you worked out a
schedule? Yeah, we still see each other. You know, we like each other very much.
If one of you's not on tour, I suppose it's still... You're still not seeing each other, so you might as well tour at the same time.
That's true. But, we like working. I got to 29 and hated all of my jobs. And then I found something I really like doing and I just want to do it more.
It's good. It's a great job. You're okay at it. If you keep sticking at it, I think it's going to go well.
If we asked your wife if she'd like you to go on tour, she'd probably say yes.
She seems happy about
it. She'd like to see you a bit less, I think.
She seems happy about it. I see, lockdown, I thought, I'm going to stay. I like being with the family. And I've said, I'm going to go on tour. I'm going to take Rehelsip on tour, but then I might do kind of have my book straight away afterwards. She was very cool about it. She's fine. Yeah, she's fine.
Was she clapping? Did you hear clapping?
But you know, I completely get it. And you've been going for like nearly 20 years.
Nearly, it's 19, I think. Hold on, 2004 I started. So 19 years in September. So
next year, 20 years. The stand up.
It's the longest thing I've ever done, ever. The longest relationship I've ever had has been with my agent. And I've been married twice. Like, this is how long it's been going. No, I love my job and I like doing my job. So I'll just keep doing it while they keep coming out.
Yeah, I think that's right. So go and see her on tour. Bobby, if you can't see her on tour, download Bobby Dazzler, which is absolutely fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up. I'll call this one a draw. Sarah Miller... Thank you very much. You have been listening to Rahalastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Sarah Millican, 7-0 to me. The music is by Scant Regard. Thank you. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. Thank you also to Chris Evans. Not that one, or that one, and everyone at Go Faster Stripe, and everyone in South Wales, but not North Wales. I have no time for you guys. Thank you also to Captain McKeegan for a fabulous research site, Rahalastapa.com.
This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Check out the tour, richardherring.com/Rahulastapar.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.